Do you think it's okay we should be more accepting of people who are overweight? Tonight with me are two members of the National Association to Advance Fat Acceptance, or NAFA. They say overweight people shouldn't be ashamed and should embrace their bodies no matter what size they are. They don't necessarily encourage each other to diet, and they believe that health and size are two separate issues. Head nodding out here, and it's hard to disagree with the idea of just being happy and accepting yourself and not feeling demeaned by whatever your body size or image is. But Mimi Roth disagrees. She is founder and president of National Action Against Obesity. Now, Mimi, you say this is misleading. Go have at it a little bit.
Well, I certainly think that we all want to feel good about ourselves. That's understandable. I don't think people should feel demeaned by their size. And I also couldn't agree more with the message of daily exercise. No matter what size you are, you'll certainly benefit from daily exercise. You can't be healthy without that. But then let's talk about where we disagree. Look, if you want to feel good about yourself, it's impossible to feel good about yourself when you're doing something that's self-destructive. Also, self-destructive behaviors that result in damage or debilitation or even disfigurement to the body, that's never going to be perceived as beautiful.
Jeanette, now you, what about, I'm going to ask Mimi this, what about what Jeanette said about the data that in 3 to 5 years, even people that effectively lose weight end up gaining it back? Mm-hmm. I mean, we hear that, you know, the biggest loser. We hear about a lot of these people gain their weight back in spite of doing a great job losing it on the television show. What about that, Mimi?
Yeah, she's right. Most of the studies show there's about a 95% failure rate of keeping weight off and losing it. However, there's the Weight Maintenance Registry that tracks people who've lost significant weight and kept it off year after year. And here's what those people have in common. They stick to food that's healthy and works for them that they like. They regularly eat similar things. They try not to go to buffets where the choices are endless. They exercise at least about an hour a day, and they weigh themselves regularly. So it is a fact that people can lose weight and keep it off. It's also a fact that it's really hard to do.
Jeanette.
Well, first of all, they don't really keep the data very long on that registry. It's only a couple years. So technically, I've qualified twice to be in the weight control registry. So
actually, that's not true. They do keep it year after year. So let's be accurate.
Well, the thing is that I think that the Hays approach, the health at every size approach, has been documented to work. And it's been documented to work year after year.
What do you mean work? What do you mean work? Because a health at every size is a lie. If you starve yourself into damage, that's unhealthy. Or if you eat yourself into damage, that's not healthy.
You're making a lot of assumptions.
That's just not.
Here,
that's not true.
You're making
that's
a
like
lot of
saying,
assumptions.
That's like saying
about
that
weight.
Let's
being
say you are a smoker. Let's say you're a smoker and have black lungs, and you try to say that's healthy because you don't have cancer yet. We know that it is actually factual that obesity is dangerous, and it's connected to cancer, stroke, Alzheimer's. We even know it's connected to an increase in birth defects. So there's nothing left to debate.
Mimi,
it's not beautiful. It's not healthy.
Mimi, do you have some personal connection with all this? I don't know your story. Tell me.
Yes, my entire family is obese, and I have to tell you, when you grow up with the people that you love and respect the most, and you see the hardship, the damage to their bodies and spirit due to obesity, it breaks your heart. My grandmother just passed away this February, and she lay in a bed for 4 years, not even getting up to go to the bathroom because she got so heavy she had to be put in a home. And it's just beyond tragic, and I think calling what gets people to that point beautiful is dangerous and really cruel. I think it comes from a good place, wanting people to feel good, but I think something like Overeaters Anonymous might be more helpful than pretending that obesity is healthy.
In recent years, 80s pop star Alison Moyet has transformed her body and dropped from a whopping size 22 to a size 10, but she's not necessarily happy about it.
No, in an interview with The Mirror yesterday, she admitted she's working very hard on getting fatter again. Why? Well, she says she thinks that women look far better with more chub on them.
It's an awful lot to go through to reverse it after that, isn't it? But is she right? Can you be big and beautiful?
Well, plus-size model Rachel Cooper-Wherry says yes, she's big, she's proud, and she's making a living out of her fuller figure.
Meanwhile, Katie Hopkins says people like Rachel, who think you can be fat and beautiful, are simply in denial. They join us now. Good morning to you both. I mean, that's a pretty bold statement, Katie, to say that people that are happy with themselves, that are confident, if they're bigger, that they're in denial.
Well, I think it's just an excuse, really, isn't it? It's an excuse for not wanting to do exercise, an excuse for eating as much as you want. You know, Alison Moyer, I don't think she's going to have to work too hard, is she, to get back to a size 24? I think unless you have the discipline to stay slim, I think really you're putting yourself through something you don't need to. And I think, you know, to call yourself plus size is simply a euphemism for being fat. And who wants to be fat?
But I think it's a generalisation to think that everybody that's bigger would want to be thin. I mean...
I know, not at all. There's statistics that say that anybody you go and ask out there would say they'd like to lose half a stone if they could, and most would much prefer to lose more. You know, life is much easier when you're thinner.
Well, let's ask the question. Rachel, would you like to lose half a stone, if not more?
Probably. But at the end of the day, it isn't what it's about. What it's about is the fact that I need to feel less intimidated about being a bigger person, and that I need to enjoy who I am and live my life and not obsess over making myself smaller.
So why would you like to lose maybe half a stone?
I think there are very few people in this room who would consider themselves to be top-of-the-range healthy. Everybody needs could afford to be a little bit more healthy.
So it's a health thing, not a looks thing.
Absolutely.
And I think this is a very important point, because this really does concern me, because there are skinny women that can be extremely unhealthy, and there are larger women that can be, and men, sorry, that can be extremely unhealthy. This surely shouldn't be about size. Shouldn't it be about your health, number one,
really,
always?
It is about health. And if we look at it, you know, if you are obese or morbidly obese, for example, which I'm not trying to infer, but if you're obese, you are less healthy. You are more prone to type 2 diabetes.
This
you
I
are
agree
more
with.
Likely to but have health issues.
Why does that bother
issues.
You?
It
if
really
somebody
bugs
wants
me
to be big, let them be big.
If I walk into Marks and Spencer's now, you know what? There is a plus size range for children from 3 to 16. If I go into BHS, they have the same range. Other shops are available, clearly. But what I'm saying is we are setting an example for our children. And if you say this is OK, this is a good way to be, we're saying, OK, children, that's fine for you to be twice the size you should be by the time you're five.
But on the flip side to that, I know little girls of 5, 6 and 7 who are hearing their mummy say, you know, oh, I feel so fat. Oh, I've got to go to the gym. Mm. And I know 5, 6-year-olds that are bordering on anorexia that young because they're listening to their parents say that they're too fat.
That's an extreme example. You know, 1 in 10 children now goes to reception class, you know, as an overweight child, and that's clearly got to be wrong. I'm not sure if you disagree.
I don't have children myself and don't really involve myself with a lot of children, so it's something that I don't have a great opinion about. Children should be allowed to be children, and I don't think that the looks should come into it whatsoever. We should be teaching tolerance and balance in their lives, as opposed to being looks associated and obsessing about how other people perceive you.
Rachel, is there a danger that if we say size 14 is the norm and size 16 becomes acceptable, then maybe in a few years size 16 becomes the norm and size 18 is acceptable? This is a self-fulfilling issue here.
The whole point is that everything is acceptable. It doesn't matter what you look like. If you have a personal responsibility to yourself, okay? When you are a bigger person in this society, it is intrinsic that you feel intimidated and judged by people who think that you are fat because you are lazy, you are unhealthy.
When do you feel persecuted for being overweight?
I certainly wouldn't go to a gym.
Right.
I would feel very intimidated. I feel very intimidated going out in jogging bottoms or less than flattering outfits, and I find it very difficult to find flattering outfits. And so going out to a nightclub or something like that would also...
So you're persecuting sections of society.
Well, I think, you know, this goes back exactly to the point, doesn't it? Big is not beautiful because big cannot find clothes that it would like to wear.
Because we're told it's not beautiful.
We're not just told it's not beautiful. It clearly is not as efficient if you are carrying a lot of weight. It's more difficult to work. It's more difficult to run up the stairs. It's more difficult to grab the tube.
That's
everything becomes
issue.
More difficult if you are overweight. And I don't think big is beautiful. And I don't think it's the sort of way we want to be bringing up our children, to say, look, you can be any size you want, because that's clearly
not
the truth.
Do you know what, though? I think Alison Moyer looked better before she lost the weight.
That
photograph.
Come on.
I do. That photograph of her in the paper.
I
don't think she looks, I think she looks great.
She
suits are full of figure, I think.
That is completely wrong. People say to her, you know what, Alison, you look fantastic. When my girlfriends lose a couple of stone, and I'm sure you would probably agree with this, you know, they lose a couple of stone, you say, you look amazing. And they say, yeah, look at these jeans, look how loose they are. And they feel, you know, people say, I feel 10 years younger.
Yeah, but
that's the difference, Jake.
I wouldn't agree with that. But the problem is that that's therefore saying that anybody that's big isn't beautiful, whether they feel confident, whether they feel beautiful, and that's putting them down, which I think is ultimately wrong. I used to be a model, and I used to be extremely skinny, and I had food issues, and I was absolutely miserable. Absolutely miserable. I knew a lot of supermodel girls, absolutely beautiful, who weren't very nice people, and they were ugly on the inside. So there's this huge, big misconception about what is beautiful from the inside out, and what. And you know,
I think we just need to be a bit honest here. Most people would like to be thinner. Most people think skinny looks better. Most people think slim's better, and that's why in stores, really, realistically, you can only buy from a range of 8 to, say, 14, 16.
But this is media and socially driven, though. I mean, at the end of the day, people are told, indoctrinated, that most people consider it to be this way, so you must think like that. There are plenty of people out there who think that you are particularly not attractive because you are slimmer. There are people out there that don't find my body attractive in one way or another. There are people, it's all about personal proclivities.
I think it's harder to be thinner. You have to have the self-discipline to be thinner. Mm-hmm. You have to want to go to the gym. As you said, you don't. In order to be thinner, you have to want to have
Doesn't mean I don't exercise. I do apologise for talking over you there.
That's
but I practice yoga. I am an extremely flexible person. My size, and anybody who is socially responsible and individually responsible will exercise no matter what size they are.
I don't believe that you can say that you exercise sufficiently if you're the size that you are. I don't believe that can be possible. I think you have to have the discipline to get yourself down to a size where you do
but
look
if you,
more
if
healthy.
If you want to, Katie, some people just simply don't want to.
But that's not the right attitude we should be setting in this society.
That's not your attitude.
Yes, but I have a say. As a taxpayer, I am going to pay for gastric band surgery for a whole bunch of people. It costs £5,000 to £8,000, Jake. I'm going to pay for a new range of bariatric ambulances to carry people that are obese. I'm going to pay as a taxpayer for a whole range of diabetes treatment for people that are carrying too much weight. So I do have a say.
You can
but
relate
surely
to that.
We do, because I, as a taxpayer, also have to pay for breast augmentation or...
I don't think we've had that done here, have we?
depression issues, mental issues with regards to people who feel intimidated or pulled down because of their physical persona. There is money spent in all ways. I don't think it's rather fair of you to segregate one particular thing.
And I agree. I just don't think that you can generalise that people that are bigger just are lazy. I mean, it could be emotional issues. You know, it could
I
be medical
so tired
issues.
Of this.
But,
oh, we
but
must
there
support
are circumstances.
The
there are. So, I'm just
I
saying
get,
that there are circumstances.
I get so tired of this
not
argument.
Just laziness.
You know,
surely
it's better
so to support
difficult.
Somebody than to bring them down.
No, I disagree with you entirely. This nation is all about support. Support lateness in schools. Support obesity. Support. 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 Enough of support.
Okay.
Time to get disciplined. Time to have authority and time to recognise that fat is not best.
There you go.
Healthy,
two very different viewpoints. Let's see what people
healthy.
At home are saying. Let's go straight over to Matt in the Hub. Matt, what are people saying?
Well, understandably, lots of people have got lots of comments about this. Now, Natalie McBreedy, big or small, as long as you're healthy and happy in yourself, who cares? And Stephanie Langford, I know some bigger ladies that are much fitter than my slimmer friends. And Danielle, you can be happy whatever size you are. Nobody needs to be told that they are in denial by somebody they've never met. And Lulu, I'm a big girl, and yes, I don't feel beautiful because I wouldn't go as far to say I'm in denial about it. It's just mean. And Naomi Bostock, your feeling about your body is your opinion, but it doesn't matter what's on the outside. It's the inside that counts. Thanks for your comments.
Thank you, Matt. We're just about out of time. One word answer. Are you happy with how you look?
I'm happy. The way I look is
That's
the better
yes.
way to look.
Are you happy with how you look?
Extremely.
Each
Good.
To their
Perfect.
Own.
Perfect.
Right. After the break, comedian Arlo Hadland.
I'm the founder of the Self-Esteem Team, a campaign group that works with teenagers on mental health and body image, and writer and broadcaster and mischief maker, Milo Yiannopoulos. Let's see how we get on today. It's great to see you, Natasha. Congratulations on the MBE, by the way.
Thank you
for taking the time to join us this afternoon. You presumably, I'm sure you welcome the decision. What impact might it have?
I think body image, the more I learn about it, the more complicated I realize it is. And things like mannequins and adverts, they're symbols, really, I think, more than anything, of the pressures that women face. So Topshop's decision is a victory, but it's not going to change. It's not going to change anything significant, I don't think.
Why not?
Because it runs so deep, it's in the very fabric of our society. And that's why we go into schools and work on changing mindsets and giving young people the armor they need to question capitalism, because it's in the very fabric of the world that we live in. A mannequin, it might shock you out of your revelry, and that's certainly what's happened with this campaign, but this stuff is all around us all the time.
Well, it's extraordinary, isn't it, to hear about, you know, the fact that there's apparently a problem with women worrying about being too thin. That's, of course, not the problem. The problem is that everyone's getting too fat. And actually, there's no evidence, really, that any of this stuff has much of an impact. A lot of the science is very fuzzy on this. It's social science stuff rather than any real sort of reports or anything. I mean, what worries me about all of this kind of stuff is the implication that somehow we're going to make people's lives happier or better by encouraging them to believe that whatever body shape they are and whatever they look like, they're beautiful and they're going to be happy. That's evident. That's quite clearly not the case. I mean, if you look at women's happiness has been going down since the Second World War, actually, every decade. But women are getting more miserable as they get told that they can be who they want and look how they like. And you can say, I suppose, that a woman's self-esteem should have nothing to do with whether or not a man's sexual preference, you know, sort of coincides with how she looks. But the fact is, women are getting more unhappy. And this sort of slightly irresponsible trend to sort of encourage people to eat whatever they want and do whatever they want is one of the things that's fueling an obesity crisis. And that's a really serious thing. That's a real thing. That's something that's got health implications. It's got cost implications for the NHS. The problem isn't too many anorexic women. The problem is quite in the opposite direction. We're perfectly happy to have aspirational role models in our entertainment. We should have them too in our retail. There's nothing wrong with encouraging people to live healthily.
There's so much wrong with what you just said. First of all, the message is not eat whatever you want, sit on your sofa and eat lard all day. The message is live a healthy lifestyle and then see how your body ends up. There's quite a wide spectrum within which the human body can exist and be healthy. Human beings come in lots of different shapes and sizes, and that should be reflected in retail, because after all, it's us that's spending our money on those clothes. There's also evidence to show that our thin worshipping culture is actually what's fueling the obesity crisis, that it makes people feel shameful, that it makes people eat more, it makes people feel excluded from the world of health. I was recently in Copenhagen, a place where they are obsessed with health in a very positive way, and the mannequins I noticed were a little larger. So why not allow people the freedom to see themselves reflected in shop windows?
I don't think that anybody's complaining about, having realistic types if they want them in certain places. The problem is, when you start sort of bullying retailers into getting rid of aspirational body types, making clothes look worse in the window. I mean, you know, if you look, when a woman goes shopping, for example, she quite often looks at clothes that are a smaller size than she'll actually wear, because she wants to know how that garment's actually going to look. These sorts of aspirational...
Not sure that's true, but go on.
Well, I love how we're being told what women look for when they go shopping.
This is obviously from the sort of mansplaining school of feminism, which of course also hates capitalism, as we heard earlier. And there's always, you know, what I really don't like about this debate is it's a sort of women on women kind of violence. This isn't really about whether sort of heteropatriarchal, capitalistic sort of superstructure or weird atmosphere that is encouraging women to have unhealthy attitudes towards their bodies. What this is really about, unfortunately, very often, is older women who aren't very happy taking out their frustration on younger women and on youth culture. And if you look, unfortunately, at a lot of the activists who do this, the people who make the complaints, the journalists, the media figures who are doing this, very often they are older, very often they are single, very often they are taking out, you know, their frustrations in their own personal lives on brands that are aimed at 22-year-old girls who are much closer to the sorts of body shapes that we see in the windows.
You're taking out your frustration on the youth of today.
Well, I've been completely misrepresented, which of course is, when you're losing an argument, it's the easiest thing to do, isn't it, to try and put me in a box where I'm suddenly a militant feminist. I am a former model. I've worked in the fashion industry. I know that it's run mainly by women and homosexual men, and so the patriarchy really doesn't have that much of an impact in that sphere. Also, you know, it's when I go shopping, what I want to know is what the garment will look like on me, not on a 6'1" dummy with a 26-inch waist. If you cannot design for a realistic body shape, then you're not a very good designer. If you can only design for a coat hanger, you're creating art, not a garment that's designed for a human body.
I'm not sure where this sort of obsession with realism and realistic proportions has come from. I mean, there are blogs, there are feminist blogs out there that show, you know, video game characters in more realistic proportions. They turn Lara Croft into this sort of dumpy, lesbianic, you know, short woman in cargo pants. And nobody really wants to see that. Nobody wants, not even women. It's not an aspirational sort of icon that people can aspire to be like. The fact is, we do have a huge problem with people treating their own health very irresponsibly. And I personally find when media figures and feminists and activists and campaigners encourage women to worship themselves no matter what their size and what their shape, actually that just has the effect of making women unhappy. And women have been getting more unhappy decade after decade after decade since the Second World War, since this stuff started to happen.
Okay, we're debating, we're not being offensive, are we?
No.
So what would you
I'm
say?
I'm talking about science.
I mean, okay.
I would like to see diversity on the high street because I don't want to see naturally slender women excluded from the world of fashion either. You take any one beauty paradigm, you take a size 16 mannequin, you take a size 0 mannequin and present that as the only way to be beautiful. Both of those are problematic. I want to see lots of different shapes, sizes, ages and races on the high street. And I think, I disagree, I think that will lead to greater happiness for women.
That's not really true, is it? I mean, people don't want to see diversity. They always seem to want to see larger models and larger mannequins. I mean, the direction, the trajectory of pressure from activists on your...
Surely they want to be able to see what clothes will look like before they try them on.
Well, they can see what they'll look like on them by trying them on.
Yeah.
I mean, designers put clothes on skinny women because it looks better, because that's what people like to look at.
Both
women
and
men prefer to look at that. I mean, the fact is, you know, again, this is not really about men at all. This is about pressures that women put on other women, you know, to look good and to stay thin and to stay healthy. And frankly, those women who do aspire to look like what, you know, you may think are sort of stereotypical standards of beauty or unattainable sort of beauty standards. Women who do look like that tend to be happier. They tend to have better success in relationships and they tend to report that they're more content with life. When I said, you know, women are getting more unhappier every decade, I'm not just pulling that out of my behind. Women these days report, as compared to even 50 years ago, they're far more depressed. They're far more likely to report themselves as generally unhappy with life. They're far more likely to be single and they're far more likely to contemplate suicide. And a lot of this has got to do with the fact that after 30, women do struggle to be happy if they're not in relationships. And part of the reason that many women are not in relationships is you've got these weird celebrities like Lena Dunham, who put sort of, you know, being quivering and blobby and unpleasant as a sort of virtue on our screens, encouraging women to turn themselves into quite unattractive, you know, sort of spectacles. I don't think that's particularly healthy for anybody, but ultimately it doesn't really affect men. It certainly doesn't affect me as a homosexual. It just affects women because you're making women unhappy.
Final thought.
The final thought is that what we should find aspirational is health. You can't look at somebody and ascertain how healthy they are. Health is about lifestyle, not looks. So I want to encourage people to celebrate their bodies because people who like their bodies look after them. It's the same as with a car. If you had a lovely, shiny new car, you would clean it regularly, you'd put the right fuel into it. People who hate their bodies don't look after them.
People who hate their bodies look for affirmation, self-help, you know, sort of motivational speaking of the kind that you know that you do. Because they want to feel good about how they look, no matter what their size or shape. People who feel good about their bodies go to the gym.
Come back on that.
Well, I go to the gym, and I'm not single. I'm in a long-term relationship. I think that you've stereotyped women who want to see diversity because it makes you feel better.
But it's always diversity
in one
direction, isn't it?
That we're all bitter and militant. I want to see diversity. I want to celebrate women. I love women. I love fashion. And I want to see everybody invited to the fashion party, and I don't think that there's anything wrong with that.
Do you love women?
Of course.
Great. Good to see you both. Thank you very much for joining us.
Creator of the blog, thefword.org. Also fellow blogger Monique Van Berg, whose blog is called BFD.com for Big Fat Deal.
Big Fat Deal. Hey, the president of National Action Against Obesity. She's been on the show many times. Mimi Roth is here. And with a medical perspective on all this, Dr. Jennifer Ashton. Good to see you, Dr. Jen.
Likewise.
Well, Rachel, we learned your story there, but give us a little more information. If you don't mind, you're about, what, 5'2"?
5'3".
5'3", 185?
About 185.
And I bet a lot of people say, look at that woman, she's unhealthy.
Actually, my friends and family who know that I'm in better health than I ever was.
How's your blood pressure?
Perfect.
Cholesterol?
Fine.
Do you have diabetes?
No.
So why?
I have a family history of it, too. And I still don't have
Well,
diabetes.
You want to get across with these blogs that you shouldn't be discriminated against, but also what else? You want acceptance from the rest of society?
It's more than just acceptance. We want to be recognized as human beings. We want to be recognized as people deserving of equal rights. We don't want to be discriminated against. We don't want to be stereotyped. We don't want to be profiled.
Mimi, I'm going to let you jump in here because I thought something interesting that you told our producer early in the pre-interview. You said these people are making this effort to try to get fat to be accepted. You say it already is.
Well, we're on the projections is that we'll have 75% overweight or obese in this country by 2015. And just to put some context around this, the New York Times article that came out saying in the fatosphere, big is in or at least accepted. Could you imagine if that headline had read thin and skinny rather than fat and big? The outcry would have been immediate and thunderous. And the reality is, while anorexia is so serious, we lose about 200 lives a year to anorexia. With obesity, it's 800 lives every day. We've got to stop debating whether obesity is dangerous or not.
But
and we can't look at anorexia as the only alternative to obesity.
Does fat definitively equal unhealthy?
Here's what it definitively equals: an increased risk for disease and premature death. Now, we would hope that everyone on this stage is going to defy those odds. However, we can't erase volumes of research that supports otherwise.
Well,
I'd like
Monique,
to point out that a lot of research coming out shows that it's not the fatness that poses the problem. It's actually a lot of these so-called weight-related illnesses are actually the result of yo-yo dieting. And numerous studies have showed that it's fitness, not fatness, that's key.
Okay, Monique.
Yes.
And I apologize because this isn't gentlemanly to do. How tall are you?
5'9".
And do you mind saying your weight?
240.
240. Okay, same question to you. A lot of people would look at you and go, Monique, oh, she's not very healthy.
Right. Yeah, no, that's an assumption that I think people make a lot about a lot of fat people. And it's that automatic assumption that we're unhealthy, that we're kind of trying to combat. I have really good cholesterol. I dropped my cholesterol by 25 points last year, whereas I didn't drop my weight at all.
So again, you're saying you want acceptance.
Sure, yeah. I mean, I think fat people are paid less than thin people. Fat people are abused on the street. I had someone write on my blog about how she was out jogging and someone drove by and threw garbage at her and was yelling things at her. And then, of course, I don't want to go out jogging again after that. So
yeah,
that's counterproductive to me, that kind of hate. And I don't think you can use self-loathing and shaming of fat people to mm-hmm. get us anywhere.
So, Dr. Ashton, what's your feeling about this? Can you be fat? Can you be overweight and still be perfectly healthy?
Well, I think the medical answer to that, Juliet, is it depends. There's no yes or no simplistic answer here. We can't really look on height and weight. We have to look, and this can get controversial, at the body mass index. And I'm saying, in an extreme sense, if you get to a number of 30 or above, that it doesn't matter how much exercise you do, how good your cholesterol, your blood pressure, your diabetes screening, your family history is, your risks do then start to increase, not necessarily for today, but for down the road. But I do think it's important for people to understand here that there is not a black or white answer to health, and there certainly isn't one for beauty. I don't think we can look
that's
those answers
totally
and what's in
you.
A magazine.
But I think a lot of people want to know. A lot of people want to know, what kind of exercise do you do? What is your diet? You know, are you eating?
Well, before I answer that, I want to point out something and address
something. Well, we don't have a lot of time to get
She quotes statistics that 75% of the population will soon be overweight or obese.
Yes.
I want to point out that when many people think of fat, they automatically think of the 500-pound man that has to be hoisted out of his home by
a
crane.
True.
But in 1998, the BMI standards were lowered from 27.3 to 25 to define overweight. In essence, 35 million Americans were turned overweight overnight. Is it so much that the population is this epidemic, or are we just lowering standards?
Well, but they're lowering standards because of
of health consequences.
There are health consequences. So we want to get to some more answers from our doctor to find out, sort of clarify the situation for us.
And we will hear from these women's husbands. What do they think about their wives? Okay, come right back.
Be right back.
All another show.
Welcome back.
Hey, is it possible to be fat and fit?
Still with us, we have Rachel Richardson and Monique Vandenberg. They say yes. Also, Mimi Roth is here. She's the president of the National Action Against Obesity.
Oh, and Dr. Jennifer Ashton is also with us as well. In our studio audience, by the way, we have Rachel's husband, Brandon, and Monique's husband, Ian, is also out there. They're beaming proudly. But I'll tell you what, Mimi, a question for you. These two women are here. They're happy with the way they look, and they say they're healthy. Why should we all care about what their size is?
It's a great question, Mike. When we first heard about the fat acceptance movement, I think we all thought it meant that we wanted no one to be cruel to anyone at any size. And I think every one of us would agree to that. But what it's kind of become is somehow big is beautiful, a glorification of obesity, somehow obesity and feminism are connected. It's just really kind of gone off the
bend. I don't think we're saying, and like, let's really all be fat. Like, hey, everybody be fat. So we're awesome.
What are you saying then?
There's a tendency to glorify and mislead. Encourage a wellness-based approach. We emphasize wellness, not weight loss.
So you're not saying, because there are some people out there that would go, oh, these people are heavy women who just want to stay heavy, and they're jumping on this bandwagon and using this as an excuse. Like, hey, you can be healthy.
That is furthest from the truth. Nobody in the fat acceptance movement is saying, hey, sit around and eat Twinkies all day. You know, a lot of us subscribe to a holistic wellness-based approach called Health at Every Size that encourages people to reconnect with their bodies, to listen to your body when it's full, when it's hungry, to exercise, not just for weight loss, but for the myriad of health benefits that exercise brings beyond weight loss.
A question stimulated by her, by Juliette's question there. I'm just thinking about kids watching, and they're overweight already. They go, oh, this is cool. Those ladies I saw on TV, it's okay to be chubby.
It absolutely starts with loving yourself. When I was a self-hating teenager, I didn't exercise because I was afraid people would laugh at me. I didn't, I was afraid, I just was governed by this fear and shame that I wasn't good enough. And I think I would have been a much happier, much healthier person as a teenager if I hadn't had all that fear and shame that I felt I was getting.
All right, messages. The thing is, we all want to be healthy. Dr. Jennifer Ashton has some tips for us about everyone being able to be healthy and the best steps that you should take.
Right, and let's be clear, Juliette, we're talking about the middle range here, not the very thin and not the morbidly obese, but the first one is don't eat white food, okay? That has no nutritional value in
sugar.
White bread. White rice, white bread, white pasta, potatoes, sugars, remove them from your diet. If you want to eat a pound of whole wheat pasta, that's much better for you than a pound of regular white pasta. The second one is don't drink your calories. Mm-hmm. It's a waste. It has no nutritional value. We're not talking about pounds here. We're not talking about BMI. We're talking about nutrition and health. So don't drink things with calories in them.
Especially alcohol.
Well, in moderation. Mm-hmm. Again, we're talking in moderation.
Yes,
and lastly, because to limit it to three, I know we're short on time, get enough sleep. There have been a lot of studies that show that subadequate sleep directly increases the body's cortisol levels, which then can lead to a factor. And, of course, we're talking about genetics and environment here, but a factor for obesity.
What is enough sleep? What is?
Well, the average recommend. No, you probably get four, right? The average is 7.5 hours of sleep a night.
Okay,
everyone's different. Some people need more, some people need less, but that's one of the best things.
I just wish it was black and white. You look at these women and go, they're healthy or unhealthy, but it's not black and white. That's why the discussion is so good, and we continue it on our website, which is imagejshow.com.
One of the prevailing things that are happening here is that what I'm hearing is this intense sort of discussion around self-hatred and when you're in a bigger body. And I wanted to ask people, like down the front there, you who's 20, is your life better? Are you happier? Is everything better now that you're slightly smaller than you were before? I mean, I think one of the things
let's get an answer to the question. Are you?
Absolutely. And I'm not a little bit smaller, I'm a lot smaller. And I did do research into everything. I can still have kids, and that may not have happened if I had stayed the size I was. Like, my question to you is, can you honestly say that you are 100% happy and healthy? Like, you have no medical conditions whatsoever, you have no problems at all with your health.
The question's been asked. What's the answer?
I think it's really interesting that I feel like I need to justify my existence in this room.
No, but
right
hang on
now.
A minute. You asked her to justify her decision.
I asked her if she was happy. I didn't ask her to justify what her health issues now or if there is any.
But have you got any health issues?
No, I'm perfectly happy.
I'd love to know, like, what do you see as healthy with eating?
It's interesting that you've just assumed that I eat bad food because
of my
size.
No, I'd love to know, because if you're really healthy, do you have any joint issues, or so you're completely...
I swim 2.5 kilometres a day. I walk, I exercise all the time. I am in a synchronized swimming team, and I really resent the fact that I have to actually justify my existence and my ability to live in the world in a bigger body in
but
a way
we're
that
all
I'm
talking
happy
about
with
health tonight. I mean, the whole show is about weight and health.
No,
so it's not an unreasonable...
What we're talking about is surgery, and we haven't actually talked about the possibility that you can actually live in a life in your life.
No, but we
in
have
this body.
We have talked about that, but all I'm saying is that a question to anyone about what they eat in the context of this program, anyone in this room, is perfectly reasonable. I think
if you can fight fat, it's interesting that they've only been directed at fat
No, no, no. It's not about being fat or not being fat. It's about what everybody eats. Well, it's about what everybody eats and what health is.
You're conflating that
I'm not conflating anything. I'm saying I think it's perfectly reasonable in the context of a discussion where you've got research that suggests that people who are overweight and people who are obese can be more prone to particular health problems. I think it's quite reasonable in that context when we're talking about diet, we're talking about losing weight, gaining weight, whether people are happy.
Fat shaming, we've recently seen it happen to celebrities like Kelly Clarkson, Melissa McCarthy. But when is it fat shaming versus, say, motivation? Well, a lot of folks have different opinions, certainly John Burke.
To the overweight people, I'm not gonna accept you for who you are with that excuse of you should love me because I'm beautiful. Your personality might be beautiful, but your body is not. When I sit there and I look at somebody that's overweight, I find that utterly repulsive and disgusting. Why? Because it shows a lack of self-discipline. There are certain situations when you deal with a thyroid problem and things just like that. But for the most people, they try and come up with some excuse as to why they can be the way they are. And you know what I'm looking for right behind them? The children that are exactly the same way. And it requires some effort on your part to get up there and take an active role in your children's life. Do it for the sake of your children, people. This isn't me being angry. This isn't me trying to fat shame. This is me saying you need to change your life before a doctor comes in and says, look, I'm sorry, there's nothing else we can do. Get out there and get active.
And John joins us. And John, first thing I'm gonna ask is what was the motivation? What pushed you to make this video in the first place?
Well, originally I started the John Burke Fitness Motivator Facebook page, and I posted similar videos, nothing like this, quite like this, but it was mainly trying to motivate people to make changes in their life by offering basic gym and nutrition advice, just very simple stuff. And I got a huge response of people making excuses. And so eventually I got fed up with it, and I started, you know, looking around more and more, and I've noticed this society is all about, let's make an excuse, or let's put it off.
Give some examples of some excuses that you
I just don't have the time. I was a drill sergeant for 2 years. I was overweight as well. I went from 175 when I first enlisted into the Army. I got out for about a year and a half, and I went up to 250 pounds. As a drill sergeant, you get up at 04 in the morning to train your soldiers. I got up at 03 just to go to the gym. I prepared my meals, and we didn't get off of work until sometimes 8, 9 o'clock at night, working 6 days a week. It's how bad you want it.
I noticed in the video, you said that people who were kind of overweight were, I think the word used was disgusting to you.
The lifestyle. Mm-hmm. The lifestyle of being sedentary. I don't believe that the human body is made to sit on a couch or a chair and do nothing. It's not healthy. Mm-hmm. So for me, it doesn't even just go into fitness. It goes in towards motivating yourself for your life. Are you satisfied with being mediocre? Are you satisfied with watching everybody else go after their goals and pursue a better lifestyle? Or are you just content sitting on the chair?
You know what I'm seeing here is I'm seeing you as a drill sergeant. Because when I watched it, it was really hard
I'm a little scared.
To watch it. And you know, it's interesting because some of your comments I completely disagree with. Other parts of your comments, especially the part about your health, mm-hmm. I agreed with. But it was you were being a drill sergeant. We know drill sergeants say things to motivate that they don't even truly believe. Deep down is my question. Do you really believe that this is fat shaming to some extent, but that this is just the tactic you're using as a quote unquote drill sergeant for your clients, et cetera?
Absolutely not. Like I said, I was overweight. I've been bullied. I've been fat shamed. For me, yes, it is a drill sergeant style mentality, but you gotta understand where I'm coming from. In my line of work, fitness saves your life. I train kids to go into combat. I led men in Afghanistan, I led men in Iraq. In the mountains of Afghanistan, you're pushing up to 7, 8, 9,000 feet elevation with 80, 90, 100 pounds of gear on your back. But let's apply that towards life. Weight loss. Is it easy? Absolutely not. It takes a dedicated mindset to go out there and change your body because you gotta have an inward change before the outward happens.
John, I think that, first of all, to give you the benefit of the doubt, I think that it might be right message, wrong execution for some people. Mm-hmm. I do want to give you the benefit of the doubt and think that at least your intentions are in the right place. And certainly from a military perspective, yes, okay, for sure. But I think when you look into what we know about obesity medicine, and I think you would acknowledge you're not a medical professional, right. So your background is more fitness and nutrition and military and workouts. We know in obesity medicine that obesity is a multifactorial disease. So the least of it, and I just came out of an obesity medicine course, the least of it actually is willpower. These signals start in the brain. There are neurohormonal, there are genetic, there are metabolic factors that you can be the most well-intentioned, motivated individual and still not be able to lose weight.
Time and aptly timed, a Virginia teenager is petitioning Disney for a plus-size princess to appeal to those not fitting the skinny standard, she states. So is it time for a plus-size princess? We're going to ask Mimi Roth, founder of National Action Against Obesity, and Emmy, body image advocate and supermodel. Thank you both for being with me here
today. Thank you, Elizabeth.
So with the two new Disney princesses perhaps about to enter onto the stage here,
yes.
Anna and Elsa, it certainly brings up the discussion. The 17-year-old girl who is plus size herself, what everyone's hearing from her is that she wants something out there for young girls to look at and relate to. Is that such a bad thing, Mimi?
Well, I don't think we should be looking to cartoons for validation. When you look at cartoons, they're usually not proportionate to reality. Their eyes are giant, their necks are tiny, and it goes on from there. But the reality is you wouldn't want someone who's anorexic to say, hey, we want anorexic princesses. And the same is true for obesity. It's dangerous, it's unhealthy, and we don't want to glorify obesity. So I understand that many people are overweight, but having a princess represent that is really not a great message. Lately, we've seen princesses portraying strength and fitness, and I don't think that we want to try to pretend that overweight is healthy because it's dangerous.
But she's not saying that in her petition.
What are you hearing?
She's actually saying that she would like to have a princess that's a little bit more realistic, more normalized in size, so that more kids that represent the America will not feel left out in the kingdom. There's only those kids that are having problems with anorexia in droves, in epidemic proportions. We have problems with obesity on the other hand, but within the petition, this young lady is not saying, I don't want to just insert an obese princess. I just think, you know, She's really hitting home that it's important to have more diverse representations of beauty for kids, which I'm all for. I'm absolutely all for, because kids, when they go and see a movie, they're going to go and get entertained. When they're not seeing their own images on a repeated basis, that sets certain subliminal messages that they themselves or...
Sure.
They're
okay.
not they're
Let's
not
talk through
beautiful.
The storyline. If you're going to do a storyline with obesity, then you're going to need to do princess diabetes, princess cancer,
We're
princess
not talking
fertility
about
problems.
Obesity,
she specifically asked for a plus-size princess.
Is plus-size
let's,
obese?
Let's That's just, not. That's a very good
the,
question.
The girl is I don't know if she's clinically obese. Is she 30 pounds or more overweight possibly?
But maybe it looks she's not asking for an obese.
She's
princess.
Asking for a plus-size princess. Let's just stop and pause on that request.
Do you think
it's
are
the
you
same as asking for an anorexic princess?
Let me ask you
it's
this.
The same.
Do you think the proportions currently with the dolls that are out there, princesses, Barbie,
No
cetera,
dolls
are,
proportions are, I mean, the eyes are huge.
Girls?
No, it's not even like
it's
that. You shouldn't be trying to identify with a cartoon character. That in itself
I
is an
to
odd
differ.
Thing.
I beg to differ, Mimi. I believe that the current representation of beauty within our children's movie and entertainment industry is askew to the thinner side.
Oh, please. Katniss is fit. Mulan was fit. Pocahontas
Those are a few. A Pocahontas, there's a few representations outside of
so
a
So you
whole
want them to be plus size? You want them to be overweight? This sounds like mob mentality. No, I'm not missing any
plus what I'm bad. Saying.
It's unhealthy. If you like cancer and diabetes, if you want fertility problems, then plus size is beautiful.
That we have to take personal responsibility, which means we have to make healthful life decisions forever, and we have to read labels, and that means industry has to be truthful about what's in the food and the risk associated with the food. Let's make the environment healthy so we can make healthier choices, and guess what? We owe it to children to have a chance to grow up healthy, which means pre-pregnancy to age 5. Let's get that generation
okay.
healthy.
I believe that we come in all sizes. Obviously, we can see that by the audience here. We need to respect one another and get over this obsession with insisting that everybody needs to be the same size. We don't all need to be the same size. Thin does not equal health, and fat does not equal disease. I'm 62 years old. I'm not on any medication. I'm not saying that everything is perfect in my life, but I've been fat all my life, and I've made it to 62 without having to be on any medications or any things. I'm not dying because of my fat.
All right, 30 seconds.
Again, we are not hating fat people. We hate fat behavior. And everybody out there, if you are large, okay, and you want to do something about it and feel good and feel sexy, there's nothing wrong with feeling sexy and being healthy. We will help you, and that's the thing. You can set yourself free. You are making the choice to stay large.
All right. Yeah.
I'm sorry, I'm just kind of boggling. I want a shirt that says no jerks.
You're using your 30 seconds.
Personal attack again. Sure. Fine.
Everyone has a different body. That's okay. It is your body, and the choices that you make for it are the ones that are important. Make choices that are healthful for you.
All right. Jillian?
I just think it's about us all coming together and being healthy inside and out. It's about finding solutions. And, you know, that's what I'm here to do, is to try to be helpful if my help is wanted. And if not, I respect that, too.
Eric?
I feel that the war on obesity should not be a war on obese people, that people of all sizes should be respected and should be honored and be able to be who they are. You should embrace your authentic self. If you want to stay larger, stay larger. If you want to be smaller, be smaller. But to make judgments about people based on their size, to use the war on obesity or use a disguise as health when it's really hate, doesn't make sense and it's not intelligent.
All right, Kelly, final comments.
This whole thing is so frustrating because no matter how you look, people will always judge you. And what matters most is that you're just happy with who you are. And I think that's what everyone here really needs to work on, is if they're happy with them. And then if they think that they're not, change what you want to change.
There is hardly a morning goes by that we don't talk about weight issues, or we don't talk about stories in the newspapers that are talking about fat jabs and how to lose weight and how to keep fit and all that sort of thing. Well, we have got in the studio this morning Whitney Thor. Hiya, Whitney.
Hi.
Good to see you. Whitney is from Greensboro, North Carolina, and she's famous. You became famous after being on YouTube. And basically, it was a video entitled A Fat Girl Dancing.
Right.
It went viral. Millions and millions and millions, about 7 million people, knew her because of this.
Jesse on it. I'm that black that you get on. International. First class seat on my lap, girl. Riding comfortable. Oh, yeah. Cause I know what the girls them need. New York to Haiti. I got a lipstick stamp for my passport. I make it hard to leave. Been around the world.
Loving the moves. But, now, tonight on the TLC channel at 9 o'clock tonight, Whitney has got a new series called My Big Fat Fabulous Life. And there
it's actually called Whitney Fat Girl Dancing here in the UK.
It is. Right. Well, there's so much for that research. okay, so you're still dancing.
Yes.
Yes, and a lot of people maybe say, who are you kidding, really? You're dancing here, but really, this is not the sort of advert that we should be having.
I think that's interesting, because my life isn't an advertisement for anything. I don't have a hidden agenda. I'm just living my life the way that I see fit, and fat people so often offend others in society, and I find that it's one of the last socially acceptable prejudices.
I absolutely agree with you on that one, but what about people who are concerned about you? I mean, there might be people concerned you're going to keel over and die,
mm-hmm.
Because maybe your body, your heart won't be able to sustain
right.
all the enthusiasm that you have.
That's true. I do have a lot of enthusiasm. I think that the concern for health is often a mask to discriminate or to be cruel to fat people. I think there are actually very few people in my life who care and love me enough to be genuinely concerned about my health. And as far as my health goes, I would like to break some stereotypes about fat people, because even at 380 pounds, I'm certainly not naive to the health risks that may come if I stay this weight. But I have no major health problems. I've never even had high blood pressure.
Yet, Whitney.
Right, yet.
Yet.
Exactly.
And I do have to say, I advocate you. I am overweight. I am constantly lampooned for being overweight. But I do speak to you from concern. You're doing your ankles no good, your knees no good, your hips no good, your heart start, probably very no good. So, I mean, I do think there is concern. People would look at you and say, oh, are you sure? But at least you're doing something. Are you doing those moves to reduce your weight or just to say, look, I may be big, but I'm still going to enjoy myself?
Yeah, well, I definitely like to lose about 100 or 150 pounds. And I think what's interesting is that so often people say, well, she's so fat and disgusting. Why is she doing that? Why is she exercising? She's killing her knees. And I think, well, what's the alternative? What would
exactly.
you rather me
Isn't
do?
It fantastic.
Right. So it's in our society, it's like fat people can't win. If I go out and I exercise, I go to the gym, I put my dance videos on YouTube, I just do what I want to do, like every other person deserves to, I get criticism for that. But if I were at home and not exercising,
a lot of praise. You're also obviously you wouldn't have so many followers and a lot of people in that position. So do you see yourself as a cheerleader for them?
I do. I mean, the thing is, I've connected with so many people all over the world, men, women, young and old, and it's not specific just to body image. I hear from people who are anorexic as much as I hear from people who are fat. I also hear from people who are gay, people who are disabled, people who are dealing with any kind of societal-induced shame. And I think the first part to pursuing health and happiness fully is to not be ashamed of ourselves, because I lost 10 years of my life when I was diagnosed with polycystic ovarian syndrome and gained over 100 pounds to depression and sadness. And we cannot pursue a holistic picture of health, which is mind, body, and spirit, until we are happy and unashamed and know that we are worthy and deserving. So
I watched that video and I feel inspired to get up and dance to see someone that's having fun. And I think if it inspires other people who might be in that depression that you're talking about, then I think it's a great thing. I love the video.
I couldn't dance like that.
Were you a dancer?
Did you take dance?
Yes.
Briefly? Because we're running out of time.
Yeah, I was a trained dancer for
right.
years growing up.
Well,
yeah.
you can
yes.
tell because it's excellent.
So you've got your program on TLC tonight at 9 o'clock. What's next? Dancing with the Stars?
Well, you know, I would love to do that. We'll have to see. I'll keep you posted.
Great.
Very good. Whitney Thor, thank you very much indeed. She is.
Well, moms and dads, as you're watching this, you want to watch it with your kids, because let me tell you, this doesn't start out of the blue. It builds across time, and we program these kids for eating disorders, I promise you. And the early intervention is the key. So pay attention to what we're talking about today. Let's bring Mercedes out. How are you?
Great for you.
So why do you suppose these people are clapping right now?
I really don't know why they're clapping. I don't deserve any applause.
Well, you know, maybe they're clapping out of habit because we respect our guests when they come here. Maybe they're clapping because you're here and you could be hiding at home instead of being here. Take a look at this picture. Okay, you remember that girl?
I remember her. I would love to be her again. I really would.
Because you've chosen something else, right?
Yeah.
This is a disease of choice. You've chosen this relationship with food and really power in your life, and so she doesn't get to be there. Close your eyes right now. I want you to think back to the time that you were that little girl. And if you told her right now, what I'm going to do is starve you to the brink of death, what would she say to you?
She would tell me I'm crazy.
Do you hate her?
I hate the way she looks.
Why? What do you hate about the way she looks?
She looks so happy to me, but just her size, visually, physically. To me, she looks like a chubby kid that's gonna grow up and have weight issues.
Look right there at that camera with the number 4 on it right now. Okay, now look. Who looks like they had life by the tail?
The old
her
me.
Or you?
To me, it's almost like reverting back to the civil rights movement. Now we're telling fat folks that they have to buy an extra seat. Not too long ago, my grandparents had to sit on the back of a bus. It's almost like segregating folks based on the way they look.
I can't imagine. Did you really say that?
Calm down. Don't act like you're offended by KKK.
You're so offended by me saying that your approach is so
tough. Why do you keep acting like a victim, though? That's what I like to know.
Well, I don't think we can let something about the KKK just sit there. I find that so incredibly offensive, and offensive to the people who at the hands of that despicable organization have suffered.
You are coming from a totally different place than Jillian is coming from.
Why would you project something like that on
because
today?
Because you're projecting it on it. If it is what it is, I would respect you so much more. Say what it is. You have a problem with fat people. I would respect you so much more if you said, look, fatty, I can't stand you. I hate you. Get the weight off.
Now, I understand you're passionate about this. You know, this is a picture of you with your grandmother. And you obviously...
I obviously hate her, don't I? Just hate her. Hate my mom, hate my dad. Why could you say something like that? You know nothing about me other than the propaganda.
You know nothing
May
about
I finish
me.
One statement?
You know nothing
I
about me.
I haven't gotten
me.
To finish one statement. If you read my blog, if you go to actionagainstobesity.com, if you go to findingthin.com, you'll find out what I really am. And then if you want to criticize me, criticize me. Don't criticize me based on what the pro-fat movement writes about me.
I
wouldn't
read
like
your
that
website.
Person either.
I did go
if
to
you
your
say,
website.
But don't say if that I hate a certain group of people when nothing could be further from the truth.